The doctor was the monk. Sorry, old habits. Here we go. How does a podcast evolve after you've practically solved every puzzy and riddy? You really gotta expand upon your limited brand before your show gets really shitty. You turn to face reality and pray your personalities will carry this last minute pivot through. So here comes the content that nobody wanted. Now it's time for Hate Riddle Riddles Clue Crew.
Hey guys.
What? What's up, Aaron? Aaron,
is that all you have to say to us, Aaron?
For hey, guys. For listeners, Aaron just said, I have something to kick us off. And JBC said, we have ideas. And Aaron goes, do you mind if I do mine? And we both said, I guess so. And we ripped up our index cards with our brilliant ideas.
Aaron panicked
and looked around the room. I deleted a hard drive full of ideas that I had.
And I burned the turtle costume I had bought for my intro. What'd you say?
What's that psychology term for when... when you like live in a city and you hear an emergency happen outside, people are way less likely to call for help or do anything about it because they assume that someone else is going to do something.
Asshole syndrome, bystander syndrome.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. Oh, Casey's typing. That's just what happened at the beginning of the episode.
Casey stopped typing immediately when he was like, "Oh, I'm getting called out."
And we were all sitting in silence, assuming someone else was going to start the episode. And mm-hmm. I thought I would be the hero and say, "Hey guys, yeah, was it panic? Sure. Did it sound good or natural or like a good start to an episode? Of course not."
Aaron, yeah. It's impossible for you to become the hero because you're already the hero.
Aww, Vanessa.
And Aaron, I would say,
she's having a stroke.
Even more than that, you're the heroine, and that I'm completely hooked on you.
Aww, that's so weird.
And you're also kind of destroying America.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Can I call you horse?
Destroy America.
How was your weekend, everybody?
My weekend was good. I went to Saugatuck, Michigan for the first time.
I've never been there.
And it is delightful. It is a bunch of lakes, and then it's a lot of little saloons and antique stores and restaurants and coffee shops, and they're all, I guess, nautical themed, which I guess I've never seen so much nautical themed stuff around a lake. Around oceans, yes, but around a lake, no. So it was a little weird, but it was a very good time.
Were they like lake specific nautical stuff, or was it like deep sea diving and boats and all that stuff?
It was a lot of boats. It was a lot of like the schooner pub and like all that kind of stuff.
Interesting.
That's pretty charming.
It was for a magic tavern retreat. Because
I think you guys should have retreated years ago. I'm glad you're doing it now.
2 years in, we said retreat. We finally got around to it. There's a lot of apple orchards, a lot of places that sell pie. We went to a place called The Mitten or something that was, I mean, Michigan's called The Mitten, but then it was also baseball themed, the restaurant, like a mitten.
Oh.
And so they had peanuts and Cracker Jack beer, which was surprisingly tasty. So I had a really good time. I thought it was fun.
Was it just peanuts? Regular beer with peanuts and Cracker Jack floating in it?
Yes, it was disgusting. I had to strain it first. Oh,
they
also,
see you guys, they see three Marks walk in and they go, I bet I could sell these assholes peanuts and Cracker Jack beer.
And they go, Mark, Mark, Mark. And we go, no, Adel, Arnie, Matt. JBC, I was going to say, we played some board games. We played Horrified, if you've ever played that. And that game is a blast.
Okay.
I might buy it sometime. So it's basically, if you've ever played Pandemic, it's somewhat similar to Pandemic, where it's a co-op game. Cubes. And you're fighting against all the universal monsters. So there's like Dracula, Invisible Man, Frankenstein and his bride. And
Swamp Thing make an appearance.
Well, Creature from the Black Lagoon does, but not Swamp Thing.
Yeah, Swamp Thing is from Con Air. Never mind. Uh-huh.
Thank you so much. So you have to sort of, each one has their own way that you kind of dispel them. So you have to like pick up items and use them in a certain way whatever it might be. But it's just an absolute fucking blast. It's so fun. We played that three times. I think we played it three times.
Whoa.
Very good game. JBC, cool. How was your weekend?
I played a game that we've played before, Adel, called Blood on the Clock Tower, which is a big social deception game, which is very fun. Also, I sent you guys a little recommendation over the weekend. I've not watched all of it yet, but I've watched, I think, the first four episodes of Jury Duty. Are you guys watching this yet?
Not yet.
I haven't watched it yet. I'm going to because former Chicago improviser Ross Kimball is in it, and
there's a few former Chicago people. I think it's a very fun like premise for a show. It's kind of feels similar to like a Nathan for You, except it doesn't really feel like mean ever. The whole premise is that there's like one person who doesn't know what's going on, who thinks that they're like doing a documentary of something real, and everyone else, literally everyone else involved is actors. But it's not like they're never mean to the guy. Like there's a lot of shots in the show of the guy like laughing because he's like having such a good time as things are unfolding around him. Yeah. So I think it's got a very good heart to it. But yeah, it's on Freevee. I don't even know what that is. But check out Jury Duty if you can stream it or watch it because it's very good.
I don't even know what it is.
I know there was a show. This must have been 15 years or more ago called The Joe Schmo Show. And it was similar
I was literally just this morning trying to find the clip of him at the end finding out mania of it. Oh my gosh, we will play the clip of it here right now and then we'll come back.
What?
Matt?
Everything? What is going on? What is going on?
Matt?
Are you freaking kidding? Matt, are you an actor?
Everything I told you about my life.
Are you an actor? Tell me, just say it.
I am.
What the fuck is going on? I can't believe it! I can't!
Next, Matt meets the actors out of character for the first time.
Ben? Dude, are you at least gay?
And coming up,
he is manically like popping balloons and laughing. It is wild. Have you seen that clip?
Yeah,
but it's I believe so.
Because that was network. Wasn't that like network TV too? Like
it was network TV, and I believe it was the world's introduction to Kristen Wiig.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
there was a lot. Actually hurt on that show too. She had to get medevaced out of that show because that guy they were in sumo suits and she accidentally got hurt by the guy who was the average Joe.
Yeah. So I feel like whatever they were doing 15 years ago, some of the kinks have been ironed out, and and it makes Jury Duty a very fun show. So do look. I won't spoil anything else about it, but do look it up, 'cause it's very fun.
On a scale from 1, totally ethical, 10, Kid Nation, where does it fall?
I was just going to bring up Kid Nation as something else you should revisit that would not get made today.
I am way too young to be here.
It's hard to tell because of how things are like produced, you know, like you don't really know what was happening when the cameras were off or when they chose not to show like this angle of it. But it seems from just the baseline pretty ethical. Like it seems like everyone. But the other thing is like he's the guy who doesn't know what's going on is never the butt of any of the jokes. Like it seems like it's kind of like a pretty funny, well-written narrative that's happening on top of it. And a lot of the humor comes from like him observing the way that other characters are interacting in front of him, not like trying to put him too much in the middle of it. Yeah.
Right. He's more of like he's an audience that we exactly. cut to the reaction of. That feels like the only way to do it.
Yeah. That part makes it feel funny. Now, again, there's still two more episodes that I haven't seen. So if it does turn, it hasn't yet.
Hey, Aaron.
Mm-hmm.
Should we tell him? Hey, JPC, you know how over the past couple of years, you, me, and Aaron have had like 360-hour-long conversations?
Couple years. It's been way longer than that, right?
Well, you're on a podcast. There's mics hidden here and here.
Oh, my God.
And here?
And here? Oh, my God. I'm looking.
We're not
and there's a camera. There's a camera right here.
Yeah, that's spaghetti. That's not a dog. That's a camera.
I love her like a dog.
I love her like a camera.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron, how was your camera?
My dog was good. I don't think I did anything. Oh, I went to a wedding in LA.
Slap in the face to whatever couple that was. I did anything. I went to a wedding.
I was like, I couldn't remember what I didn't do. I basically didn't do anything yesterday. I just hung out and wrote that Haven and Riddle episode we just recorded.
Party.
But I went to a wedding on Saturday and it was so fun and lots of Chicago people, an absolute blast. And then I got sushi on Friday and I'm living my best life. Nice. I watched Succession last night.
Oh, so good. What did JPC, did you watch it?
I did. I'm caught up now. When this comes out, we will not be caught up. But as of when we're recording it, I'm caught up.
This might be my favorite season so far.
It's incredible. So do we think underline or cross through?
Well, here's what I'll say. I won't talk about spoilers of things on the show, for sure. Especially things that have just come out. You want to talk about the finale for Joe Schmo from 15 years ago? Let's rip that to shreds.
Although I had episode 3 spoiled for me on Twitter when I woke up last night.
Now, here's the thing. No, you didn't. You spoiled it for yourself by going on Twitter. No. You can't say that I had an episode spoiled from me by scrolling through social media.
Fair enough.
I can't believe it. I had this spoiled for me. Do you remember the people during when the Star Wars movies were coming out, they would go and search people's tweets for other tweets about Star Wars, and then they would tweet at them Star Wars spoilers?
No, that was a thing.
Oh,
yeah,
that's so sad.
I know, trolls, man, trolls. Trolls are on a world tour, if you know what I'm saying.
I remember there was. I think also I hadn't heard that one, but I had heard for the newer Star Wars movies, starting with whatever the first one was with Jar Jar Binks, I guess. The Attack of the Clones, maybe.
Yeah,
there was people who would watch it they'd see it, and then as they are leaving the theater, and there's people lined up to go into the next showing. They'd tell all the spoilers as they pass them, which just seems insane. What are we doing?
That seems super messed up.
Yeah, it tracks for me. It tracks for what society is, you know? It's I understand what it is, yeah. No one's in it together, right? We're all in it for us.
Speaking of all in it for us, this doesn't make any sense. Speaking of the next thing I'm going to say, what if we went to the Discord and got some Chatterbox topics?
Aaron, what if you became a news anchor? With segues like that, I feel like you could do the 5 o'clock news.
Thanks, Carl. Now, speaking of what I'm about to say in the news, a school caught fire.
That's what David Letterman used to do. Do you ever see those little clips?
Oh, yeah.
When Letterman was a news anchor, he would say, I mean, this is obviously wildly insensitive, and this was in the early 80s, late 70s, but he'd be like, an older man was killed today in Indiana. Speaking of a killing, the Dodgers walloped the Reds, or whatever that is. So all his segues would be pretty insensitive, but topical.
Insensitive, but topical.
Mm-hmm.
That's the worst kind of lotion.
And now he has.
I feel like lotion is worse when it's not topical. What does that even mean?
Oh, yeah, I guess I want my lotion to be sensitive, though. But right. Yeah, lotion that you eat, edible lotion. I think we're talking about Jell-O.
Aaron, you don't eat lotion? Your insides must be dry as the sun.
Mm-hmm.
Girl, you're in your 30s and you don't eat a bunch of lotion before bed? Uh-oh.
Oh, my God, should I be? Uh-oh. Will that keep me young forever?
Aaron, I'll get my poison person over to you because you should be eating way more lotion.
Fucking lungs.
This one is from Ross. Is there ever anything that you regret not getting into sooner? I only listened to Hamilton for the first time this week and I regret waiting so long. What's something you wish you had gotten into sooner?
That sucks. Is that a current comment?
Yeah.
Because I feel like Hamilton was, you had to really listen to it in 2016 or else it doesn't, listening to it now, you're like, oh, okay. I should have done this 8 years ago, huh?
Nothing comes to mind. One thing I'll say, and this is just based off, I guess I'm inspired because you mentioned Hamilton, Ross?
We'll never know.
Trust
Ross.
We'll never know.
Aaron, we took a trip somewhere and you played for me Assassins.
Mm.
And that was one where I was like, this is so fucking good. And I've always just avoided it. I thought that was well done. Also, we recently watched Columbo for Review Crew. And that was one where I'm like, man, I wish I would have watched Columbo when it first came out. I was not born yet. But I feel like I wish that I had maybe seen all those seasons earlier.
Yeah, Columbo's a really good answer. That's a good question. JPC, what about you?
Well, I mean, we were literally just talking about it, but I feel like daily sunscreen. I started doing that in like my late 20s, but I'm like, oh yeah, I should have been doing that. There was like a whole like swaths of my early 20s where I was like, I would just like wake up and be like, now the day has started, you know, I don't need to do like, and then I'd go to sleep and I'd be like, now the day is over and I don't need to do anything.
Skincare routine, yeah.
Yeah. So I think, honestly, and look, if you're out there and you're listening and you're in your early 20s and you think I'm invincible, start now. Go get some SPF. It's what is it? It's 50 for the face, 30 for the body. Go for it. Go wild.
I have a couple.
Sounds like you're rating. Sounds like you're on that show, Hot or Not, with the laser pointers. 50 for the face, 30 for the body. I'll bump up your score.
I think one that I really like is if I ever have like a really busy week, this is very new to me, but I will change the settings on my phone to make my phone be that like ugly, horrible black and white, so that you don't want to be on your phone as much. It like is so unpleasant to look at. So then you just keep your phone away from you so you don't get as distracted by it.
Hmm. Yeah, I would have gotten off social media way earlier. I think that would have been a smart call.
Yeah.
What else?
Ooh, I'll say I wish I would have gotten into Adderall sooner.
Yeah.
I would have gotten so much more done in my life.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Like those things that you wait on that are like, oh, yeah, this is a thing that will dramatically and drastically improve the quality of my life. Huh.
Therapy.
I spent all my
diet, exercise, drinking water.
All my late teens, my 20s, and my 30s being like, man, I never get anything done. I have zero energy. I'm so unfocused. I'm so scatterbrained. And then finally I was like, let me get help for this. And then I'm like, oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What was like the first week on that, like, Adel? Were you like angry or like, were you like, was it so nice?
I was flying around the house, cleaning everything.
That's so funny.
It's truly been such an improvement of like, oh, I can, it's fuel for getting shit done. Like I typically sit at a desk with so many things to do and I get overwhelmed and I'm like, let me just watch 6 hours of TV and then I'll get something done. And then it's late and I'm like, I'm tired.
Yeah. I thought of one more thing. And this is more like a physical thing. But I had never even heard of this, and it's one of those things where I was like, oh, I'd never even thought to like think about something like this. But Mariah got me a little brush. I don't know how to describe it. That like scrapes like carpet or dog beds or whatever hair off of it.
Oh, cool.
It's, some materials it doesn't work. Some materials what it will do is it will rip every fiber out of it. But for like carpet and stuff like that, you can just like scrape like the loose dog hair off of things. And we've had a dog for 5 years and having that thing. I'm like, oh my God, how did I survive without a tool like this before? So that was one of the things where I was like,
a really good answer.
This thing is $10 and it has changed my life.
Oh, it's I got one funny. Of those. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, it's also funny because I've used one of those before and it's like on a place where you're like, there's a little bit of cat hair or something, you run it and it comes up with like 3 pounds of cat hair and you're like, oh, that was really in there.
My other, like my cleaning thing that I wish I had used sooner, well, two things. My mirror rags are the best, most helpful cleaning product. They're like $6. I think you can get them at like Lowe's.
Aaron, drop that name right here. You know the brand name?
No, but I can look it up and text I will comment it on the post. And there, it's like these two light blue rags, and one has like is like porous, and one is like just sort of flat.
Can always tell.
And all you need is water, and you wash you like wipe down your mirror with like the one that has all like the dots on it, and then you wipe it down with the other one that's dry.
Whoa.
The first one's wet, second one's dry. It cleans your mirrors perfectly, absolutely no streaks.
Wow. With water.
I've also used it on my windows, in the interior of your windows, and it cleans them perfectly as well.
I gotta cop that.
And then also, I wish I had gotten into the, like, it comes in a lot of different forms, but I think, like, the gunk one, the one that's like looks like a lotion, the pink stuff.
Oh, pink stuff, yeah.
I was like, seems stupid. All cleaning products are the same. But I had so many bizarre counter stains around my house, and it got them off in 2 seconds. And I was like, could have just bought this once and would have fixed literally all the things that drive me crazy about my house.
I feel that way about the magic erasers, where I'm like, there'll be scuffs on the walls or whatever, and I'm just like, I don't have the time and energy to clean this. And then you dip it in water and just one wipe and it's all gone. You're like, what the fuck?
The last apartment that I was at, our fridge broke and our landlord got us like a different fridge, but the fridge that they put in was a stainless steel fridge and the other one was not stainless steel. And I was cleaning it with the exact same material that I had cleaned with the other one. And the stainless steel has a very specific way that you're supposed to clean it. And I basically ruined the finish of the, from using like a harmful cleaning agent on the stainless steel. And then I was like, uh-oh. And then there's a way that you can get it off with like baking soda. It took me like 5 hours of like scrubbing with baking soda to refinish it back to its original thing. And I was like, and I have to because I'm a renter, right? Like if it was mine, I'd be like, I broke it. It's fine. Whatever. I don't give a shit what a fridge looks like. But I was like, I can't have my landlord be like, huh, so new fridge, huh? You instantly fucked it up because you were cleaning it? Who cleans a fridge in an apartment, you dumbass?
Ooh, I got another one.
Yes. Yeah.
This is one that I did like 5 years ago. I discovered it and I was so mad. So I have pretty bad chronic pain and I had a chiropractor or a masseuse or someone recommend lacrosse balls for multiple different reasons. But I have like two lacrosse balls and just rolling them on your feet at the end of the day or laying on a yoga mat and putting it on your pressure points of your body or just rolling it on your shoulders on the ground. So good. Absolute game changer.
You got to come over. You got to come over here, and you would not believe the amount of balls and rollers and shit that we have to roll around in. I've never used any of this stuff, but Mariah swears by it.
Yeah, it helps a lot.
It's also very funny because Spaghetti loves balls, but like the ones that are Mariah's balls for rolling, she'll just like look at them and be like, "Me," and we're like, "No, sorry, not yours." And she's like, "Okay." These are the balls that I can't play with.
Dog balls? No.
Another one, which is kind of hard if with like money stuff, but if you can book travel as far in advance as possible, do it
Tuesday. Book flights on a Tuesday.
Yeah. And it's so hard to like go like, oh, I'm especially now with how crazy flights are. But to try to buy something a month before you want to travel, it's going to be so crazy. So I was like, I should buy my Thanksgiving flights this week because it's going to cost like it's going to be a fourth of what the price would be if I waited until September.
And if you are not out there making your own rope, I don't know what to tell you because it's 2023. And if you're not making your own rope, you're just leaving thousands of dollars of money on the table.
Well, can I read another one?
Yes,
a braid of twine saves nine.
This is from, it's so similar to Ross, but R-O-O-S. How would you say that?
Roos.
Roos. I would say Roos.
I think Ross wanted to ask another question and was like, they won't read.
Made a new account.
Let me.
Subbed at a different Patreon email.
Have you ever called for a scene by accident when you're not recording? Have you ever done it in front of non-improv friends and they're just like, what is happening?
I think it's so funny that someone is asking if I have non-improv friends. No. Because would I have met them?
I don't talk to any of my family.
Yeah.
I don't talk to anyone from college. I've never called for a scene. I think I'm aware that that would be too weird for people. I've definitely done bits that I would do with improv friends where I'll like play dumb or like talking like a hypothetical voice of like, oh yeah, da da da, and then people have been confused and been like, no, that's not what I'm saying, and I'm like, no, I know, I'm making a joke. I just did and this is no knock against them because it was wonderful, but I just did like a live Code Names live stream that was an absolute blast, and I made a joke of like the word carpenter was on the board. If you've ever played Code Names, it's like a bunch of cards with names and you have to connect them. But I was like, oh, yes, John Carpenter's movie Scream has a character named Sydney because Carpenter and Sydney were both cards. And so I was making a joke that John Carpenter, who did not, wrote and created and directed Scream, which he did not. So I was just kind of making jokes in a tone that I thought was obvious. And then someone chimed in to say, actually, Wes Craven made Scream. And I go, yes, no, I know. But it was one of those things where I said like, oh, John Carpenter famously wrote Scream, and I was like, I think I'm being so clear, and someone so corrected me, and I was like, oh, I guess I'm not being clear.
No, it's but also it's just, you know, it's sometimes not every joke lands, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you never know.
Yeah.
I have definitely inside of other podcasts called for scenes. I've done that on Sitcom D&D. I did that when I was on someone else's show. When you're just in the podcasting mode, though, it's not mine.
Aaron, can I tell you, and I absolutely love you. I would never, you know, speak ill of you or anything, but there was a moment on when you were recently on Comedy Bang Bang where you called for a scene and you said, Scott Aukerman, you're going to be a potato. And it was so awkward. And Scott clearly did not want to play along.
And it was actually so scary because I said that and he turned into a potato. And I was like, oh, my God. Oh, my God.
That's how good he is.
He's a comedian's comedian and they're all going to be mad at me. I turned Scott Aukerman into a potato.
And I'll say that, no, I've never done that. So, that and maybe that's a lesson for Ruse. Don't ask questions that have a potential for the answer to just be like, no, I've never done that.
But I have.
Have you ever ridden a dolphin? No.
No.
Next question.
Right, this is a really good question. Sure. And this is from Fen. And they said, if you lived in hunter-gatherer times, what would you do to help your group survive in the wild?
Comedy.
Would you be a hunter, forager, defense against predators, etc.?
No, I'd be the guy around the fire making everyone laugh. I'd like dip my foot in the fire and go, ooh, 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 and then like
such
bonk my head with a club.
Guy.
Yeah.
If you're out hunting deer all day or like testing berries for poison and dying, when you get back to the fire, you want to turn on some laughs. So that would be my thing. I would like slip on, it wouldn't be banana peels. It would be like berry juice because this is pre-banana peels.
Yeah, right. For sure.
So I'd be doing a lot of stuff like that. I think I'd be really good at like encouragement. Like if I went with a hunter and I'd be like, you're doing so good. Like you shot that arrow so straight. But I have no skills of my own.
Mm-hmm. Other than slipping on berries and pretending to step
in
fires.
He's really good at that. I'd be like gaslighting other hunters and be like, wow, like you're so great at hunting. I'm like, it's fucked up that like Chris from the tribe like says that you can't shoot for shit. And they'd be like, Chris said that? And be like, oh, I'm so sorry. I don't want to like spill Chris's secrets, but like, yes, he did say that.
So you're potster.
Yeah, but only for like, so I could like socially climb so that I could, you know, be laying on the best pelts and drinking the finest.
You know what that turns
pelt
into?
Pelt water.
A whole meeting of the whole town going, well, gee, I heard JBC said this, and I heard he said this. And then you have to go, ooh, and then you got to steal a horse and get out of town.
Yeah, show up with a big mustache and be like, yeah, I just killed him. Oh. I just
horses aren't domesticated,
him, so
you're just walking that horse, and it's kicking you the whole way. See, JBC, I would have thought that you'd be like Hunter and Magic the Gatherer. Like you would, this would be before the cards, of course, but you would be teaching everyone your little games.
Yeah, you're right. I would be MILF Hunter and Magic the Gatherer. That's what I would be doing.
I'm a real nester, and I like creating cozy little spaces. So I think I'd be like building the houses, sewing curtains for them, making them smell good. Like I think I would be like clearing the path. So, like, I would be making walking paths all day. Okay. That's what I would want to be doing.
Aaron, can I be honest with you? I love you and you're my friend. You'd be drawing, like, faces on leaves and stuff.
And then talking to the leaves. And doing whatever. At least I'm having fun, Mr. Steps in the Fire.
they'd be like, hey, guys, we have two jobs. They're hunter and gatherer. So those were the options. And you all chose, you chose making paths. That's not really something
we
do.
I guess the three of us would not survive in the woods together.
No.
Aaron, they'd be like, Derek and I were out hunting for 6 hours. We wasted 47 arrows on a leaf with a face because we thought it was an animal. Aaron?
And then I come sprinting back and I go, they killed him. They killed my leaf.
What's that show? Is Naked and Afraid the one where they drop you in the wilderness naked? Which one is that?
Maybe
it's like Afraid. Maybe or
but
something. I can't
naked
remember.
And Afraid.
Is it just Naked and Afraid? I've never seen any of these shows. But as I understand it, they just drop you in the middle of the woods with like nothing. You're naked, and then they give you like an ability to like just call us when you want to tap out. And what they would do for me is that they would put me in there naked. I guess I'd like see if I could crank off to the woods. Like, I don't know. I've never tried that before. I'd test it for a little while. Then I'd hit the button and say, I'm ready to come home, please. And bring
when
me pancakes.
When you say crank off, okay.
And when you come with the helicopter, please bring me pancakes.
I picture you being dropped in the forest and like you land on a snake and kill it, use that as a belt, and then immediately like call and be like, I'm done.
Yeah. No, sucks. They would put me down in the woods. I would look around. I'd say, okay, now I have this memory. Again, then I'd hit the button. I'd say, come and pick me up. The helicopter, I would still be able to see the helicopter.
Here's what you do. Can I say something?
Sure.
Here's what you do. You drop in the forest, you immediately call the helicopter. Helicopter comes, you immediately act like you're getting in it, knock out the pilot, take all his clothes, take the helicopter, break it down into parts. Now you can live for months.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's right.
I think, yeah.
I think the whole helicopter.
Just like
that's how the hunter-gatherers would have done it. They would have eaten the whole helicopter. Yeah.
That's where we get the phrase, eat the whole helicopter.
My feet would touch the ground. I wouldn't even look behind at the helicopter, and I would just immediately press the button. They'd be like, you didn't even... And I was like, nope. I don't want to be alone.
I'm good. Cold,
this
so cold.
Is a great question. This is from Legati. Okay. What job do you see your pets excelling in should they wish to take up a career? Great.
Wow, that's a really good one. I'll go last because I have to think of three jobs.
I think Lou would be a very good salesperson. She's very personable. Mm. She's very convincing. I also think she'd be a pretty good security guard, but she actually no, because then she would just immediately be like, come on in. So I'd say salesman. She'd be a good salesman.
Yeah.
Would you repeat the question, Aaron?
Yes. What job do you see your pets excelling in should they wish to take up a career?
Yeah. I mean, this sucks. But like, cop. I mean, obviously cop. Security guard.
Sniffing out drugs.
Night watchman.
You don't mean it.
No. That's honestly, sorry, but hey, I didn't breed these things over a bunch of fucking years, right? Like that, somebody else made these things cops. I didn't do it. I just bought one of the cops that needed a... I basically took a homeless cop and I said, would you like to stay at my house? And they said, I'm going to still be a cop. And I was like, I really wish you wouldn't. It's kind of an ACAB house. And they were like, we don't really care. So I have a little cop dog.
And what is spaghetti if not a thin blue noodle? I would say for fries, I'm going to go oldest to youngest. Fries would be an amazing therapist. Very calm, great listener, very comforting. Brisket would be great in like maybe like a day trader, like has a lot of energy, but then will
so
eventually relax.
So much cocaine, big old tie.
So much cocaine, big tie. portrayed by Giovanni Ribisi or Vin Diesel. And then I think Coco would make the perfect maniac. So that could be like a cabin killer or beltway shooter, anything like that. Just a little maniac.
Cool.
Okay.
And you still have room to make spaghetti not a cop if you want to change.
I fucking wish. Tell me where I can take this dog to make her not a cop. If it's a class, if it's a hypnotist, I would love it. If you tell me how to do it.
Okay.
I'm surprised we've been recording for like 2 hours and I've barely heard any noise from her. That is a rare occurrence.
Well, she's undercover right now.
Trust me, she ain't an undercover cop. I wish I had an undercover cop dog. I wish I had a secret cop dog. I got a cop dog. Here's how bad it is. There are a couple dogs in my neighborhood that if Spaghetti, like, that live blocks away. But if Spaghetti hears them enjoying, like, life at all, she will bark and scream and cry and be like, like, she's, like, having an anxiety attack because
like
a dog
Karen.
Is playing with a ball. Yeah, she's awful.
Yeah, she's like a dog that wants to talk to the manager about how much fun the team's having.
We get it. Take a day off. Mariah and I have joked about going and getting her a retirement cake and throwing her a retirement party when she turns 5 and be like, congratulations, you're retired. You're off the force. Now you can just go. Yeah, you live. You're retired. Take up fishing. Get a hobby.
Use your pension.
That's so funny.
Buy my dog a gold watch.
Okay, so this is from Serpentine. Short version. Tips for looking after your voice when you have to talk for a living. And they are a tour guide. So
okay. They're
asking for them. So,
I'll tell you guys something. This is deeply embarrassing. Right now I'm drinking tea out of this piss mug that Aaron got me. Mm. Right now, what is it? On the day that we're recording, it's been a couple weeks since our live show, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I blew my voice out so hard at our live show, doing what I do, screaming, that I still have, like, my throat is still sore from screaming from that show like 2 weeks ago, and I've had to drink like tea like every day, and it's getting better. It's getting better. But also, guess what? I still keep screaming. So it's not getting better like that better.
This is your new normal.
That's your brand, mm-hmm. JPC.
Yeah.
Screamcore.
But I do, I will say, the one thing that I have, the one saving grace that I have is I drink, what is this? This is 32, 64, 96. 96. I drink 96 ounces of water a day, minimum. And so my at least my vocal cords are like, you know, somewhat lubricated. But that's the only like good thing that I do for my voice. Everything else that I do for my voice is just me destroying my voice.
Mm. I'd say throat lotion is a big one. And I'd also say, I think since podcasting and then like with quarantine and stuff, my voice has been the best it's ever been just in terms of like, I'm not overexerting it. But the first time I played World News Tonight, which would have been like November last year.
Mm-hmm.
After like three scenes, my voice went away and I was like, in scenes talking like that, like I was a nerd or like Shaggy, because I was not used to projecting.
Mm.
I also need some tips, but I would say if possible, do your tour guiding on a podcast and that way you can just talk in your normal tone and the microphone picks it up and you never have to project.
I would lose my voice a lot in Chicago. And then I talked to a voice teacher and they were like, don't whisper to save your voice because whispering is the worst for your voice.
You can just say Blake Shelton.
Yeah, it was Blake Shelton. He never turned the chair around, so I'm pretty sure it was Blake Shelton, but I'm not 100%.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
It might not have been. And then rest your voice, obviously, as much as you can. Before I'd go on stage and I'd have to project on like the car or the walk there, try to sing a little bit or hum. It just gets like you talking in the more front part of your face. Like try to hum through your nose before you go on stage. So you're talking from like there and not like here. And that's where your voice can get fucked. But lots of tea. And I try not to talk before recordings, like long recordings that we have, if I can help it. I try to talk as little as possible.
Yeah, there's a lot of, we'll get on the Zoom and be like, Aaron, how's your day? And she won't say anything. And it's...
See, that's interesting too, because I feel like I talk all the time and I feel like the talking helps like warm up your voice for like a long recording. Because if I'd come into a long recording like without doing, I don't know, without talking, I feel like I would be way worse off.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely can't be the first time I've spoken that day because I'll be like,
yeah.
Be like opening an attic door.
I keep forgetting that I'm the one reading the questions.
You keep looking at us expectantly.
I keep being like, hey guys,
what do you got?
Oh, this is another question from Serpentine. Because they work at the Straya, is that how you say it?
The Straya,
the museum.
Straya.
What are your favorite dinosaurs or other ancient animals?
Where's the Straya at? Is that in LA? Sounds like an Italian museum.
It's an Italian museum from LA.
I think Italian dinosaurs would make a great cartoon.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Is it just the show? Was that show just called Dinosaurs?
Yes,
just
not the mama.
In Italian? Yeah, not the mama. Not the mama.
Mama Leona.
Do you have any favorite dinosaurs or ancient animals?
Yes. Dinosaurs used to be, I mean, I think every kid at some point has their dalliance with dinosaurs is mm-hmm. what I call it. I would say...
That's the sixth Game of Thrones book, by the way.
George R.R. Martin, if you're listening.
Yeah.
Stop making
Lord of the Rings.
Stop.
George R.R. Martin, look down at what you're working on. If it's Lord of the Rings, stop. For the
you're
love
lost.
Of God.
Stop making Game of Thrones and continue making storylines and plot lines for Elden Ring DLC. Yeah. I would say my favorite always...
You don't need to tell that guy to stop making Game of Thrones, by the way. He's loud and clear.
But
he's all over it.
I can tell Brandon Sanderson, slow down, buddy. You're putting out like 12 books a year.
Yeah. Hey, Brandon Sanderson, take a break. Have 15 more kids. You don't need to be making this many books. Give 10% of your money to the Church of Latter-day Saints and slow down.
What if there's a coffee shop named Latte Day Saints? That's nothing. I would say Stegosaurus has always been my favorite.
They
I think there's something about the Stegosaurus. It's little plates all over its back. It's one of the long boys of the dinosaurs. I think Stegosaurus is the coolest of the dinosaurs. And a lot of kids used to be, I mean, everyone loves T-Rex when you're a kid. I didn't care for T-Rex. When Jurassic Park came out, I remember everyone being like super into like Velociraptors. They're fine, but I think Stegosaurus is hands down the best dinosaur. And trilobites are cool.
I think my favorite part about the dinosaurs from Jurassic Park is that they made those. They were like, what does a Velociraptor look like? And they're like, no, we're not going to do that. Make them cool. Take all the feathers. Get rid of all the fucking feathers. They don't need feathers.
They're
like, well, they had feathers. They're like, no, they didn't. Shut up. No.
They look like scary chickens. We need them to look like tiny T-Rexes.
Make them like, tiny T-Rexes, like snake chickens. Like, make them, no feathers, though. No
Snickens.
Feathers.
Snickens. Can we call them Snickers? Snickers. Let's make Snickers.
This is not a dinosaur, obviously, but I think saber-toothed tigers, super cool.
Mm-hmm.
Looking. That feels very sci-fi to me. I'm like, I can't even believe that was ever an animal. So cool.
There's also like cave bears. There's a lot of weird creatures. There was like a
woolly
wombat.
Mammoth.
There's like a woolly mammoth. There's like wombats that were the size of like horses that used to run around, and cave bears are insane if you see them, or at least pictures of them.
I think it's got to be the Meg. Give me that Meg, baby.
You love the Meg.
You love Family Guy.
I love the Meg.
You love Family Guy. You love
has lost over $60,000 a year trying to find the Meg. It's just him on a little boat going, are you here?
Come in, the Meg, and I got a stick and I poke it into the water.
Also, there's been some deep confusion where he thinks the Mega Millions is a chance to win meeting a Meg.
Mm-hmm. You can't meet the Meg if you don't play.
How big is a Megalodon? How big is it?
I would say pretty freaking hefty. I don't know. The other thing is like, do they know, because they don't exist, right? Like they haven't found like a bunch of Megalodon bones, right?
They found the mouth of the Megalodon.
There is no Megalodon. That would be organized dinosaurs.
You come to me on the day of my daughter's the fish thing. My daughter's
swimming.
Swimming.
They died out, allegedly, 3.5 million years ago.
Oh, okay. So, Adel, you would have had Megalodons when you were a kid or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess my favorite dinosaur is me, self-love.
Self-love!
Do you guys remember, this might have been before your time, what were they called? Shark snacks? There was fruit snacks that were all sharks.
Oh, yeah, dude. I remember those. And were they shark snacks? That sounds right.
Something like that. And then they'd be like, this year there's like a special great white, so every pack you'd be searching for the great white and then eat that one first or something. Those are so good.
The largest were roughly 60 feet in length and attained perhaps up to 50 tons.
I like how big things got back then,
of a railroad car. Female megalodons were on average larger at about 44 to 56 feet, and males were about 34 to 47 feet.
Wow.
That's crazy.
Damn, if you could get a megalodon and like teach you how to play basketball, those guys would not have a chance.
It'd be like Shaq.
Yeah, it'd be like Shaq.
Megalodons look like the size that all sharks felt like when you were a kid. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
I can't put photos on Zencaster, but I'm looking at like a average shark looks like next to the megalodon, and it's insane.
I think 5.6 inches is the average for sharks.
No.
Right? I hope so.
Yeah. <what? laughs>
Sure, he's bigger, but he can't buy a suit off the rack.
I remember during sex ed when the teacher would take out a shark and put a condom on it. I'm like, that's the size it's supposed to be?
Uh-huh. A megalodon.
A megalodon is bigger than a school bus.
Must be nice.
Yeah, I'm still not getting in either one of them. You can't take me on a field trip.
Hop inside the shark.
This is from Curtis. I think it's already been asked who you would cast to play yourself in a biopic about your life.
Me.
That's not my question, though.
Damn.
Who would you cast to play if you were featured as a side character in someone else's biopic?
Still me.
What?
Need the work.
Still you?
Yeah, I'd take the work.
The JPC, I'd cast Adrian Brody.
Roughly the same age.
Aaron, I'd cast, boy, this is tough.
You got to cast yourself.
No, I refuse to.
I refuse to.
In someone else's. I think maybe because she's top of mind, I'm going to have Sarah Snook play me.
From
Shiv. Okay. Yeah.
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 She's Australian, right?
Mm-hmm. I want her to do the Australian accent, though, because no one knows for sure what my voice sounds like.
Well, here's what I'm going to say.
I'll have Tom Bombskin play me.
Tom Bombskin.
The character, not the actor.
Yeah. Well, he's British. Here's what I'll say immediately. Aaron, we're going to do the Hey Riddle Riddle Lifetime movie. Aaron, Sarah Snook, is that her name?
Uh-huh.
Me, Jeremy Strong.
Mm-hmm.
JBC, Kieran Culkin. And okay. I think that captures our energies.
Yeah, I think it does.
I looked it up today, and I was like, Kieran Culkin is 40 years old. Like, he definitely plays that part as, like, a very good, like, annoying younger brother.
Yes.
I think technically isn't the order Connor, Kendall, Roman, Shiv. I think that's
Whoa.
Their birth order.
I thought it was Shiv, Roman. Huh.
Let me look it up.
So Shiv is the younger sister? Mm-hmm. Is the youngest?
Shiv's the youngest. Okay. I would have thought Roman was. But I feel
also,
like
the guy who plays Connor on the show, what's his name?
From Ferris Bueller?
Yeah, that actor.
Cameron.
Doesn't matter. He is only 10 years younger than Brian Cox.
What?
Yeah.
That's wild.
Yeah. It's like Mark Ruck or something like that. It's got like a very short name.
Alan Ruck.
Alan Ruck. Yeah.
But he was in Ferris Bueller's Day Off and then Spin mm-hmm. City or something? That's almost like a Tom Cruise.
The guy
Cruise...
from Spin City is a different guy, right?
Oh, really?
Yeah,
that's like a Tom Cruise, Wilford Brimley situation.
Huh. Yeah. You're right.
Where they...
You're right. Hollywood, man. They make you play weird ages, huh?
But I feel like I can be sort of a Kendall where I'm like, okay, yeah, uh-huh,
mm-hmm.
okay,
mm-hmm.
uh-huh.
The guy who would play me hasn't even been fucking born yet. Blow that through your mind. Blow that through your mind. Oh, sorry, Aaron.
My mind.
That blew through your mind pretty hard, huh?
That hurt a significant amount of pain. How? okay. This one is from Elise. This one is from Elise, she, they. What type of sitcom role would you want to be cast in? Like best friend, smart but ignored middle child, Wilson.
Mm.
Horny but confused doctor.
Great examples.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Keep bumping
into
things.
I think that would actually be a really good choice for you if you were like a Dr. Spichemin type big character a 30 Rock style over the top absurd comedy. I think
Chris Parnell is our generation's Phil Hartman.
Uh-huh. Aim into that. Yeah, I think I would love to play a stupid character. I think the dumber, the better. Those are always the most fun characters to play. So like a dumb guy who misunderstands. What was it? There's a Mariah and I were watching Grand Crew on Peacock. Mm-hmm. Or maybe it's on NBC, but whatever. It's on Peacock if you're streaming it. But there was a part in Grand Crew where the Grand Crew was at like a party, and there was a one goofy, well-intentioned white guy who was at the party with his black girlfriend or partner or whatever, and he kept saying things, and his black girlfriend was like, "No, don't do that, don't do that, don't say that." And I told Mariah, I was like, "That would be my dream role right there." It's just like the goofy, well-intentioned guy who's like, "All right," and then she's like, "Don't do that."
I think that's already your life.
That's pretty much
I would say, to be honest with my answer, if I must, I would say my favorite thing that I'd want to play is someone similar to what JBC is saying, like a goofy doofus with unearned confidence. I feel like it's sort of what Danny McBride has made his entire career off of. Mm. I wouldn't want to do exactly what he does, but just anyone who's like so confident and so could not be more wrong in what they're doing or saying. But they have like the confidence of a serial killer. I think that's fun. Aaron, what about you?
Similar to you, like unhinged, unearned confidence.
Yeah.
Like I love like a Joan Calamezzo.
Who's that?
From Parks and Rec.
Parks and Rec, the TV host.
Oh, yes.
Someone who's just great. Like a wild card.
She's from Mad TV, right? That actor?
I think so, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I also like being an antagonist to the straight person, but someone who's like obviously a loser, like status wise, they think they're high status.
Antagonist to a straight person. well, that's what you are to me, Aaron. Just FYI.
Exactly.
When I was teaching improv last semester at UIC, I used the term, I was like, "You make a really good straight man." And the entire class had not heard that term before, and I had to apologize and then explain what I meant.
Wow, I was like, in comedy, that's a really common cultural term. That's crazy.
But I was like, in comedy, there's a term called the straight man.
18-year-olds.
Yeah. Can we have Arnie, can we commission Arnie to make basically the Succession song, but with the Hey Riddle Riddle lyrics, where it's like, boom, doom, the doctor was the mother.
And that Succession song, right, is an homage to The Game, correct?
Oh, is the it? Michael Douglas Sean Penn movie?
Yeah, yeah.
It's one of my favorite movies.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great theme. It's really good. Should we do one more? Should we wrap
it
up? Okay, great. What are some different what are some different tricks and techniques you use to do improv over Zoom where you can't see your partner's body language / well at all? Like you can't. How do we do improv well over the computer? We might not.
I don't think we do.
And we never tried either. Yeah. So should we give it a try one time? No.
That's no,
we're absolved for our sins.
Let's not do that.
I mean, I think, I don't know if this is, I don't know if I practice what I am going to preach here, but I feel like there's something to needing to front load your scene. I mean, I think, I guess, honestly, we baked it into the show, the premise of the show, which is calling for scenes where we say like, I want to see Aaron, you're a doctor, and JPC, you're whatever. I think that that's helpful in terms of like, if you just start improv over Zoom, it's hard to know context or what someone's going for. So I think just front loading your scene with enough information that everyone's like, I know exactly what you're going for, what you want, at least up top, I think is helpful. But I don't know, if we always do that.
That's good advice.
I would say, and this is a little bit of personal advice, just do it really well for 20 years before you go to Zoom, and then you'll be fine. So as long as you put in, and I'm going to say conservatively about 20 years, then once you get to the Zoom part, you should be all good.
That's what Malcolm Gladwell says as well.
I think it took me like 6 months to get used to it. So I'd say just like do it as much as you possibly can, and it will get easier. It's also good to, it definitely made me move slower. Like, I feel like in person when we do improv scenes, it's just way faster than Zoom. But you got to just slow down a little bit. Breathe way more.
Yeah, and if you're always thinking about being good, you're never going to be great.
Wow.
Yeah. That sucks.
Yeah, it does suck. Sucks that I thought of it, huh?
Wow.
Sucks that I get to make all the money off of that.
Huh.
When the money come rolling in from that. Sucks that it'll be going into my bank account. Chase, baby.
Wow.
Chase my dreams.
Chase dreams.
Dog.
No savings account, just one loose rogue one checking account.
Checking account with, I want to say that's worth $400.
Wow.
Immediately spend that $400 on a megalodon back tattoo.
And an acting coach.
And they're the same. They're the same.
The one the same guy. But I get up with the same guy at a strip mall.
Your tattoo is, your acting teacher is a tattoo of a megalodon? You goddamn right.
Goddamn right. You want a referral?
Well, thank you for chatting with us, if you were talking
thank
back, which I assume that you were, dear listener, saying all your opinions as well.
I was also assuming they were doing that too. I guess it'd kind of be weird if you weren't.
Yeah. Why were you so quiet for the last 50 minutes, huh? Speak
That's
up.
Not how you have a conversation.
But anyways, Neptune, goodbye.
That was Clue Crew, so now here's a who's who. The relatable host was Aaron Keith. If you rolled your eyes, it's because of Adel Refai or that other young guy, fucking JPC. Casey Tony edited what everybody said, and Emily Cardamus did the logo. Arnie Parrott sang and wrote every single friggin' note of 1, 2, 3, 4, Hey, Riddle, Riddles, Clue Crew.